Friend and Lord Jesus Christ, we come before your holy presence again this morning of this Easter Monday, thanking you for allowing us to see this brand new day, thanking you for your salvation, for the cross and the blood that was poured there for us. As we gather again as a family for our family devotion this morning, we pray, Lord, that you be with us and grant us mercy and favor to go into Scripture and understand your will from there. Teach us your truth, as even as we are searching and trying to dig deeper on the sovereignty of our great God from this book of our dear brother, Ada B. Pink. Help us to understand what the sovereignty of God is, because understanding it well will change a lot in our lives. Those who are not converted might be converted if your grace falls upon them after understanding this great God we worship. And the rest of us who are already born again will be changed and transformed the more, and will be humbled by this doctrine. Be with us then, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah, as we continue with our lessons in the sovereignty of God, we are on chapter 2, entitled The Sovereignty of God Defined, the meaning of the sovereignty of God, what it really means, what it means. I want to just remind you quickly of what we covered the last time we met, just by reading this. Remember we started this chapter with a powerful passage from 1 Chronicles 29:11 that reads, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all." Yeah, that's a powerful passage of scripture concerning the sovereignty of God. Amen. Down here it says, the sovereignty of God. Okay, let me just go down here where it says, the sovereignty of God. What do we mean by this expression? What do we really mean? And it says, we mean the supremacy of God, the kingship of God, the godhood of God. He alone is God. To say that God is sovereign is to declare that God is God. To say that God is sovereign is to declare that He is the Most High, doing according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. I'm just reading because we've already covered this. So that none can stay his hand or say unto him, what do you do? No one can ask God, what do you do? As fools, many fools in the world are asking God concerning coronavirus, what have you done? Okay, I'm not insulting people here. I'm just trying to copy from somewhere in the Bible. In Psalm 14, if I'm not mistaken, 14 verse 1, they say, fools say there is no God. Yeah, so when I say fool, whoever is asking God during this corona pandemic, but if God was there, why has he allowed this? He's not there. Okay, he's there, but why has he allowed this? He should be wicked. Yeah, those are fools. I'm not the one calling them fools, but the Bible calls them fools. Even God himself calls them fools. Yeah, if you try to entertain such an idea in your mind, you're also a fool among those fools. So no one can ask him, what do you do? What are you doing? To say that God is sovereign is to declare that he is the Almighty, the possessor of all power in heaven and earth, so that none can defeat his counsels, thwart his purposes, or resist his will. So you see, when we talk of no one can resist his will, it reminds me of one of our doctrines, the irresistible grace. If God decides to send his grace to you to save you, who are you to resist? And if God does not want to send his grace to you, who are you to be saved, to save yourself? You can't. It's all about him. He does whatever pleases him. To say that God is sovereign is to declare that he is the governor among the nations, setting up kingdoms. He's the one who puts kingdoms there, overthrowing empires. Again, who removes them? The king, the president, he puts them there and removes them. And determining the course of dynasties and as pleases him best. To say that God is sovereign is to declare that he is the only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Such is the God of the Bible. Yeah, this is the God of the Bible. Katunda wa Bible is sovereign. Afuga vyona. How different is the God of the Bible from the God of modern Christendom? Katunda wa Bible ne katunda wa wakristayo abalero. Where's the difference between those two? The conception of deity, which prevails most widely today, even among those who profess to give heed to the scriptures, is a miserable caricature. So, engeri abatujiba tegera mu katonda ya njawulo. It's very different the way the churches today, the so-called born against, the way they... If you can ask them, who is God? Go to any person that you know that they are born again. Ask them, who is God? How do you understand God? You'll be surprised by their explanations. The God of the 20th century is a helpless God. Yeah, so the Katonda wa chasa chino. Te yeso wola. What did you say, helpless? Te yeso wola. Yeah, te yeso wola. He's helpless. Hey. Ate yamba. So it's as if his people wants to help him a bit. They know more than he knows. Even when you listen their prayers, into their prayers, that's why we ask you guys to always be praying biblically. Don't pray whatever you want. Pray according to the will of God. Pray biblically. Ask yourself, what I've mentioned in my prayer, where can I trace it in the Bible? Let's say, for example, if you are praying and in your prayer you say, oh Lord, I remember this is now Easter Sunday or Easter Monday, Easter season. I remember when you went down into the grave and the way you took Satan and you shook him and you kicked him there. Remember people sing that in their songs, that Jesus Christ went down there, he took Satan and he shook him, he kicked him. And he fell there. So if they sing that in their so-called praise songs, why not put it in their prayers? Because that's what they believe. That's their theology. That you believe that Christ really went to down there and got Satan and he kicked him? Where do you trace that in the Bible? So you need to be careful when you are praying. Pray biblically. And how are you going to pray biblically if you don't read the Bible? You see now the importance of reading the Bible. Oh, so manga Bible buli lunaku. So go and read all the prayers of the Bible. Many people prayed in the Bible. David prayed, Hannah prayed, and many others. Paul prayed. How did they pray? Our Lord Jesus Christ taught his disciples how to pray. How were they beginning their prayers? And even this one that I've just read for you is a prayer prayed by who? Hey guys, we already covered this. Who prayed this prayer in 1 Chronicles 29:11? Oh, guys, get serious. Go there. Turn there. David, we read this passage. It's David who prayed this prayer. And this was the beginning of his prayer. Yatandika waj. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. Now listen to how someone begins his prayer. These days people begin with begging. Oksaviriza, give me. The Christians of today have become just beggars. Are you also one of those beggars? When you go on your knees, you cannot say amen before you beg. Can't you even go on your knees and you spend all those 30 minutes or 20 or 10 or 2 minutes just praying for others? What you call intercession? You are interceding for others? Or sabira balala? Oh Lord, remember these ones. Oh Lord, remember this. And you first forget about yourself. So the God of this 20th century is helpless, effeminate being who commands the respect of no really thoughtful man. The God of the popular mind is the creation of a maudlin sentimentality. So I explained this to you the other time that people just go with what they feel, their sentiments, their feelings. And that's why you hear a lot of Mkama Ngambi, God has told me. Everyone now, God has told me. God told me. Ask yourself, why do they meet him? How does he speak? Do they know his voice? Brother Justin Peters and other brethren say, because you guys are fond of, you want to be hearing the voice of God. It's not bad. But if you want to hear the voice of God, do what? Who has ever heard that expression? If you want to hear the voice of God, you should do what? Read your Bible loudly. If you want to hear the voice of God, read your Bible loudly. Because whenever you're reading the Bible, this is his word. When you're reading loudly, you're hearing the voice of God himself. Not that your voice becomes the voice of God, but no. This becomes a megaphone. Just like if I go to a megaphone, it will portray my voice. If it's in bass form, if Gloria goes there, it will be, that small lady's voice. If it's Joshua, 7 years old, it will be. So the megaphone is just there to portray. So when you read the Bible, if I have a voice, the voice of God will be heard in my megaphone bass voice. I, the Lord of God, says. So if it is Victor, I the Lord your God says. Okay, so it's just like that. So now, let's continue from where now we stopped. To say that God the Father has purposed the salvation of all mankind that God the Son died with the express intention of saving the whole human race, and that God the Holy Spirit is now seeking to win the world to Christ, when, as a matter of common observation, it is apparent that the great majority of our fellow men are dying in sin and passing into a hopeless eternity, is to say that God the Father is disappointed. So let me break that into... Remember, do you know why I stopped at this level when we reached here? To akoma, no, because I wanted to explain it better, because it's one of our doctrines, or it's some of our doctrines. So some people say that God the Father has purposed the salvation of all mankind. Katonda chitafe ye ayagala bulise chinomu okulokoka. So then that God really, the plan of God, the purpose of God is for each and everyone to get saved. Is that what the scripture teaches? No. Because remember, we discussed the other day that if you accept that doctrine, automatically you'll be breaking which doctrine? Hell. The doctrine of the existence of hell. Each and every human being will come to salvation. That means that you agree with the doctrine of heaven, the presence of heaven, and that means that each and every human being will be saved by God and will all go to heaven. So automatically you'll be denying the doctrine, the biblical doctrine of hell. Ojambo gani? Enso Messiah Bible ya geyena. Yeah, so then number two, that's God the Father. He did not purpose the salvation of all mankind. He did not, according to scripture. He purposed for the salvation of those he elected. Those he elected, nabakwa someone, and he handed them to his son to come and justify and redeem. So then, number two, wetuva kukutata, tugenda kumwana. To believe that God the Son died with the express intention of saving the whole human race, it is again the same. That he died. Yesterday he rose from the dead. Did he rise from the dead for each and every human being, really? Because if he rose yesterday for the salvation of each and every human being, then everyone will be saved. Then number three, if we believe that God the Holy Spirit is now seeking to win the world to Christ, the whole world, each and every human being, and then he says, if that's how things is, then God the Father is disappointed. Why does he say that God the Father is disappointed? Because not everyone will be in heaven. So if you are planning, you've been planning everyone to be with you in heaven, and they don't go there at all, can't you be disappointed? Yes, you have to. Because what you've been wanting has not been fulfilled. So you have to be disappointed. Then that God the Son is dissatisfied. If he died, he gave his life so that each and everyone can go to heaven. And then one day, not everyone will be in heaven. Obviously, he's not satisfied. He has to be dissatisfied. And God, the Holy Spirit, is defeated. What is working on upon now? Everyone to go to heaven. And one day, not everyone will be there, because hell exists, according to scripture. Then he's defeated. So you need to be very careful. And remember, this is a devotion, family. It's not preaching. If you have a question, you can just stop me and you ask. Because some of these doctrines are tough, a bit difficult to understand. So if you've ever come across a passage of scripture that you think says that God, Jesus died for each and everyone, you can stop me and say, what about this scripture? And I'll try to expound it, to explain it to you. Because it's all about misinterpreting scripture. People that's what brings all these things. So, as we continue, it says, we have stated the issue boldly. si badly, boldly, no buvumu. But there is no escaping the conclusion. Nainga enkomerero tusoa jiduka. You reach the conclusion. To argue that God is trying his best to save all mankind, but that the majority of men will not let him save them.
Ogamati katonda akola chona chasobolo okulokola research no mu atenga abasinga bamuva mu ngalo,
they are escaping him, is to imply that the will of the Creator is important.
Kuwa gamanti okwagala kwa katonda tekwina amanyi. That's the meaning of important.
Tekwina amanyi. And that the will of the creature is omnipotent.
Ateka kati okwagala kwebitonde kwekwina amanyi bonna.
Kubanga because God wanted to save them, but many are escaping him, his hands are escaping him. So that means the will of these who are escaping God's will, their will is omnipotent, is all powerful. To throw the blame, as many do, upon the devil.
Okasukira blame yona kusitani, as many people do.
By the way, the Christianity of Uganda these days has lifted Satan lanang.
Do you remember those days when I used to do seminars and the Lord has got us from very far?
Instead of doing a seminar, a series of teachings on Christ, on the sovereignty of God, you are doing inside the church, a series of teachings on Illuminati, Freemasonry, skulls and bones. So that people do what?
Yeah, it's not bad for people to know about the other world. It's not really bad. It's not what I'm meaning.
Yeah, but we need to teach more on Christ and Him crucified.
But first of all, those things that you are teaching about many years ago when we were still Pentecostal charismatics, let me say,
Illuminati, those are conspiracy theories.
Some of them you cannot even trace in the Bible.
So if you can teach about Satan and his kingdom and you are based in the Bible, no, that's okay.
Because the Bible tells us we need to give people the whole counsel of God.
Not just some parts that you teach only Christ, Jesus, Holy Spirit, Yahweh, and don't teach them about Satan. No, that's not what the Bible says. You need to teach them to teach the whole counsel of God.
So naikate your whole counsel of God, you know, kuva mu Bible, that whole counsel need to be traced somewhere in the Bible.
But Illuminati, you just waste your time telling people that,
even if it might be true.
But why should you just have series teaching what about? It's Illuminatis have dominated all the banks of the world. They are the ones who are putting even everything in tomatoes and in beans. In what? So why can you base yourself in the scriptures that the Illuminatis are putting poison in tomatoes?
So you get my point. Yeah, so the Lord really helped us a lot.
So you don't need to be throwing everything to Satan. That's one of the biggest problems we have in today's Christianity. Satan is everything. The devil and demons. So that everything is demon.
I'm speaking out of experience because I experienced that more than all of you.
When a rat passes here, you leave whatever you've been doing, you start chasing.
A mere rat, just an animal, a rat. And that remained
in people's minds, that whenever they see any cat, an animal, that's a person. Because in Africa, we hear that some witches, we call them wizards, they can transform themselves into rats, into cats. So you don't want to see any cat. Any cat is a person. You see, you hear even people talk to them. You can't manage me. It's passing there. You can't manage me. You can't manage me.
Yeah, so that is really to undermine the power of God. You are making Satan
omnipotent and God weak. Omnipotent means all powerful, all wings or armor. Yeah, so they to cast everything, to throw all the blame to the devil does not remove the difficulty, for if Satan is defeating the purpose of God, then Satan is almighty and God is no longer the supreme being. Yeah, so if Satan really can be behind everything that we see, then God is nowhere. You just need to get that, like that. As an African, I'm not refuting that there's no sorcery. Ngamo dogavu okwa mu Africa, sigama titetete ogulogotevuli iwo. I would be mad. You know, kugweda. I should be first mad before I can say that there's no sorcery, there's no witchcraft. I should be mad first. Because I hear some friends from the Western world, America, Europe, abamu, some even are reformed believers like us, who try to refute us. No, you don't need to think about that. Who told you? Who told you? Who told you that sorcery is not there? It is there. But you need to be careful to just ascribe everything to Satan. And yes, people, let me see whether I can. Yeah, let's cover this other small part and then we pray. To declare that the Creator's original plan has been frustrated by sin, Ogamanti, from the beginning, I've been frustrated by sin, changing, is to dethrone God. What to dethrone mean what? Yeah, to put him away from his throne, to remove him from his throne, to enthrone. That is, throne is namurondo kiti cha enzi. That is the throne. So to enthrone is to put someone. That's why we sing, Jesus, we enthrone you. We declare you are king. That is to enthrone. Then to remove him from there is to dethrone. So people are dethroning God. Because by what you say, without you realizing, without mind that you are removing God from a throne, you might not realize it. Mubikorwabyo in your behaviors, in your speech. To suggest that God was taken by surprise in Eden and that he is now attempting to remedy an unforeseen calamity is to degrade the Most High. Ogamanti, echa to kamukundi mu Eden. What happened in Eden took him by surprise. These people have eaten the fruit. Is just to make him, to degrade him, Kumusa Wansi, the Most High, to the level of a finite, erring mortal, Kulevo Yamuntu, Afa. To argue that man is the sole determiner of his own destiny, and remember I told you last week again in our gatherings here, especially you students, you are at school, you are still going up, secondary, you'll be in the university soon. You need to be careful as a Christian young lady and Christian young man on what your teachers will throw to you in your lecture rooms. Your teachers, many at this age, even your ages, you tend to believe that teachers know everything to the point that you sometimes try to start comparing with them, your parents. You come back home from school, your mother, your father tells you this and say, no. Teacher said this. So who told you that your teachers are omniscient? They know everything. So they keep bringing some expressions to you that are really not there. For example, God helps those who help themselves. Many teachers, many professors do say so. Where do you find that in scripture? Where is that in the Bible? They say, you need to think right. I talked about that again yesterday in my sermon. You need to think right. The problem of you, it's not that you are a sinner. You are not a sinner. Tony Mono, the problem is that you don't think right. You only think negatively. Babi Tugamba, they tell it to us every day. Do you know why they tell us that we think negatively? It's because we teach about sin. And we teach that
Even brother Emmanuel Mukisa yesterday preached about that in Arumunyere. He said, because he preached on the title, "It is finished." And he says, what Jesus Christ did not mean by saying it is chiwede, it is finished, he did not say that the diseases are finished, people cannot die anymore, poverty is finished. No! So now, that's what we teach. We tell people that you can be poor, you can be a true converted person, true born again and still poor here. You can be Omuloko Wadara, true converted person and still sick every time. So that's what they say, negative reasoning. You think, you don't think right. So you need to think positively. And they start quoting some passage in the Bible that the power of life and death is in the power of the tongue. You know that it's in Proverbs, I think, yeah, in Proverbs. It's in the power of the tongue. So whatever you say is what you'll be. So that's, don't think negatively. Don't speak negatively. I'm poor. No. I'm sick. No. Even if you are down on the bed, shivering with malaria, just say, I'm not sick. Is that not madness? Even if you've spent 3 days without having food on the table. No, I'm not poor. Yeah, so your teachers always say, especially, because there's too much psychology in the things that you find in school, in your school is there. You need to, don't think negatively, think positively. Because your future is where? In your hands. Very, very well. Which Bible tells you that your future is in your hands? So if you believe in the sovereignty of God, and then you speak something like that, that my future is in my hands, really, is God sovereign in your life? God cannot be sovereign in your life, and yet, so you are now two gods. If your life is in your hands, then you can change it whenever you want, in whichever form you want it to be. So that's what the brother is saying here. To argue that man is the sole determiner of his eternity. You can determine your eternity. If you are to go to heaven, you are the one to determine, to decide. Or Sarawo. And that's why you hear the tell people, Sarawo, decide. Just where you are seated there, decide. Decide to go to heaven. Am I meaning that a man cannot decide? No. I always tell you that I decided to follow Christ and I'm following him up to now. But the way we use this decide me is not the way they use it there. For them, that decision is coming not from God. It is just coming from you and you alone. But me, my decision that I made, I know that God gave it to me as a gift. So he first changed my heart. And then he allowed, he empowered my decision to decide and to choose Christ and to follow Christ. So it's mine but not mine. You get the point? That decision is both mine and not mine. It did not originate with me. It did not originate with me. It originated from the sovereign God, Afugavio, now who rules all things. Then he passed it to me later. Okay, I've decided now, you can also decide. Oh, I want to follow Christ. And to say that, therefore, he has the power to checkmate his maker is to strip God of the attribute of omnipotence. It is to remove omnipotence. Means what again, guys? Omnipotence. In English, but simple words of English, omnipotence means what? Victor. I've explained these things many times. Omnipotence. Muruzungu naenga wangu in English, which is simple. Omnipotence. You have not brought it well the way I want. Omnipotence, all powerful. Because potent is power. Potent is power. So omnipotence means all powerful. So So it's just, these are just theological terms. God is omnipotence. Just teach together that God is all powerful. We are ending here. To say that the creature has burst the bounds assigned by his creator, and that God is now practically a helpless spectator of the sin and suffering entailed by Adam's fall, is to repudiate the express declaration of holy writings, namely, surely the wrath of man shall praise you, the remainder of wrath shall you restrain. That is in Psalm 76:10. In a word, to deny the sovereignty of God is to enter upon a path which, if followed to its logical terminus, leads to blank atheism. Oh, we are ending with this very one. He says, Muchigambo chimu in a word, to deny the sovereignty of God, is to enter upon a path, which is followed to its logical terminus, that is terminus, to end there, it leads to blank atheism. Again, I'm atheist. What is atheism, friends? How do you know atheism? Have you heard of atheism? Do you know atheism? Gloria, do you know atheism? Because Theos, we repeat Theos. Yeah, that is God in Greek. So wherever you hear Thei, that is God, Theos. So then ah is to deny, not there. Because you and me here are theists. Repeat theists. Yeah, we believe that God exists. But whoever believes that God katodatari, or God is not there, then is an atheist, is against the existence of Theos, of God. And we are ending this here today. Let's sing one hymn and then we pray for the Lord. You are choosing 70 in Grace Hymn Supplements. Numbers, let me mark where we've stopped. Yeah, we stopped here at the beginning, here next time. In this evening. Number 70, yeah? Yeah. How deep the Father's love for us. Yeah, this being Easter Monday, we are still contemplating, we are still thinking about the deep love of God. Deep, He loved us and sent His only begotten Son to die for us. Let's sing this beautiful hymn. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast, how vast.
I shame that in my
Before we pray, let us help the younger ones also, the young ones. Esther, who is the first man? The first man is Adam. Thank you. Who was the first woman? The first woman was Eve. Thank you. What was Adam made? Of what was Adam made? Of the dust of the ground. Thank you. Where did God put Adam after he made him? In the Garden of Eden. Thank you. What sin did Adam and Eve commit there? They ate the forbidden fruit. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, all of us together, family. Shota Catechism. What is the chief end of man? The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. What rule has God given to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy Him? The Word of God, which is contained in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testament, is the only rule to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy Him. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Number 3. What do the Scriptures principally teach? The Scriptures principally teach that man is to believe concerning God and what duty God requires of him. 2 Timothy 1:13. Hold fast the form of sound words which you have heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. 4. What is God? God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. In his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. John chapter 4, verse 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Are there more gods than one? There is but one only, the living and true God. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Repeat again. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Okay. Yeah, time for us to go into prayer. We want to pray for some.